Turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I laid down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from the Father." A division occurred among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?" Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We can gather here today to meet under your table, Father, and study your word. Guide us, Father, as we look into it. And Father, help us to have true hearts of servants, Father, to want to be there to help others, to do the work, Father. And guide us, Father, in those situations. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here in John chapter 10, we went and last week we talked about the good shepherd and how the difference between those who are hired hands and those who the true shepherd. And we also talked about the difference between those who hear the voice and why they hear the voice. And over the last few weeks we've been doing that. And in the beginning part of chapter 10, Jesus mentions that the robber is the one who climbs in over the wall, or a different way besides the door. And he's a robber and a thief, and all they do is they want to steal and kill. And we looked at Ezekiel and some of the parable of the shepherds back there, and really it was the shepherds of Israel that God was rebuking because of their wickedness, because they're devouring of the people spiritually. It didn't really, you know, matter if they were teaching the truth or not, according to the shepherds. If they were feeding their own stomachs, so to speak, and so they were devouring the people for the sake of gain. And so Jesus here, we're seeing a contrast between the good shepherd and those who are just hired hands. And so if we look here, Jesus says in verse 17, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I laid down my life so that I may take it up again. Okay, and so he's talking about right after he says, "I have other sheep in another fold." And we talked specifically last week about the Gentiles and Jews making up true Israel there. But he's saying that the only way that was going to happen, that wasn't going to happen through the law. There is one way that could happen, and it was because Jesus was going to lay his life down for that. That was the way that could happen. That was the way that all of the families of the earth could be blessed according to through Abraham, according to Genesis chapter 12. And when we see that in the New Testament, in Galatians 3 and in Galatians 4, and we talk about the promise was to Abraham and to his seed, talking about Jesus. There is one way that Jesus makes the two folds of sheep into one. Okay? And that was because he laid down his life. Now, going along on the same thing there is, he says, no one takes it away from me. Now we can think, well, maybe they killed him, right? But the thing is Jesus could have avoided the death. Jesus willingly went and came to earth, and we think of the death sometimes as just the days surrounding his death. Now I'm not saying he died other times, but my point is that Jesus had to make the choice, and Jesus made the choice before a willingness to come and lay down his life before he was born. Okay, so before he was born physically, because he's the eternal being, he's the creator of all. But before he humbled himself, he made the decision to lay down his life. So he is the one who chose that. Nobody took that away from him. Nobody took his life away from him. Nobody made him do that. But he did that. And that's why the Father loves him. And he laid it down so that he could take it back up again. Now this here, when you look at this as a whole, when he says, okay, I have authority. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back up. It shows of, okay, who has the authority to sacrifice, or who has the authority to do good, or who has the authority to, for me, for personally, who has the authority for me to do something good? And you could say that there's some forced authority, but that's really not true, or not forced authority, but authority that forces you to do certain things. And that's really not doing it by will. It's doing it because you have to. But in Jesus' case here, and as the example of why does Jesus have authority? Well, it is true that he is the God of all. He is the creator of all. But he has authority because of the work that was done. He says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back up again. Verse 18. So when we're looking at authority and Jesus being the example here, how does that happen? Where does he get that authority? Let's look back in Luke chapter 4 for a minute. Luke chapter 4. Now, Satan is tempting Jesus here, and he tempted him to turn the bread into stone, or to the stone into bread, and he tempted him to bow down and worship him, and he gave him all the kingdoms of the earth, according to Luke's account here. And in verse 9, he says, he led him to Jerusalem, Luke chapter 4, verse 9, he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of a temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, I will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. Okay, so what the devil tempted Jesus with here is Scripture, first of all. Okay, it's found in Psalm 91, and we can go ahead and turn back there, Psalm 91. He used Scripture in his temptation for Jesus, and it was actually Scripture talking about Jesus. Okay, if we go back to Psalm 91, and we're not going to read the whole chapter, but in verse 11 verse 11 and 12 is what the devil quotes here, and it says, "For he will give his angels concerning you, and guard you in all your ways, and he will bear you up with their hands, and you will not strike your foot against a stone, and you will tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young man and the young lion and the serpent, and you will trample down." Because he loved me, therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him securely on high, because he has made known my name. And he will call upon me, and I will answer him, and he will be with him in trouble, and will rescue him and honor him with a long life. I will satisfy him, and he will see my salvation. Now we read more in the context of the passage there. What the devil did there is he took the two verses out, and used them, but he used them correctly as talking about Jesus, but he used them incorrectly and applying it when it was talking about Jesus. Okay, so sometimes the wickedness is not so blatant. It's pretty subtle. And so when you see it was definitely talking about Jesus when he says in verse 14, to say, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. So you apply that to when that happened in Jesus' life. Now you can you can say that Jesus always was seeking God and always loved God, and that is true. But to show that, I mean, did God know that Abraham loved him? Did God know that Abraham was going to sacrifice or be willing to sacrifice Isaac? Did God know that Abraham was going to love him more than his son? God did know that. But he asked Abraham to do something and carry out a task, and he stopped him from killing Isaac, yes. But he asked him to carry out a task because it's not just about God knowing what the result's going to be. It's God allowing the result to take place and allowing somebody to go through with that. So the same is true with Jesus here, is that it's not that God didn't know that the Father didn't know he loved him, because he did love him, but he allowed him to go through the suffering and being sacrificed. That is how he loved him, because he said, I come to do the will of my Father. He has said this over and over again to the Jews here. And the will of the Father was so that everyone could be saved. And the only way that could happen is if Jesus was sacrificed for them. So he had to be sacrificed and die and resurrect. And it's because he did that is why God delivered him. So the context of what Psalm 91 is talking about when he says his angels, he'll give his angels charge concerning you and guard your ways, and you will not... they will bear you up in their hands, and you will not strike your foot against a stone. That is talking about Christ, but it is talking about him after he did the work. It is talking about him after he had loved him. That's why God delivered him. Because he loved me, I will deliver him. Now, it doesn't mean that Jesus didn't love him before, but Jesus carried it out and did the work first. And that's why he has the authority. No one took the life from him. He laid the life down, his life down. And that's why he has the authority to take it back up again. Authority is given because of work done. I mean, true authority it should be. I mean, there is authority given, and you see some examples, or maybe quite a few examples even, of authority that's given based upon family ties or whatever it is. Somebody being lucky at times. But most of the time, even in those situations, there's still something that needs to be done and a task that needs to happen. But in Jesus' case here, when he says, I will lay my life down, nobody takes it from me, and then I have the authority to take it back up again, and he's addressing the authority, and the example we're looking at here is that He can take it back because he willingly did it and put the work in. Let's look at a few other examples both ways here. Let's go back to Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1. It says, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman, and said to him, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any other man on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, you three come out of the tent of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And he called to Aaron and Miriam. He said, and when they both had come forward, he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all of my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth. And he beholds the form of the Lord. And why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. As Aaron turned toward Miriam, behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, I beg you, do not account this sin against us, in which we have acted foolishly, and in which we have sinned. Oh, do not let her be like one dead, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb. Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, O God, I heal her, I pray. But the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not bear the shame for 7 days? Let her be shut up for 7 days outside the camp, and afterward she may come receive again. So Miriam was shut up outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move until Miriam was received again. So we read this passage here, and you see how Aaron and Miriam started to get a little, you could probably say, jealous. They started to think, well, has the Lord only spoken to Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? And would it be true that maybe God had spoken through Aaron, couldn't Aaron make the argument to say, well, see, I was the mouthpiece and Moses gave information to me. I spoke to Pharaoh. Wouldn't it be true that Miriam could say, well, going through the Red Sea, and Miriam led the ladies in singing the song, and wouldn't it be true to, you know, couldn't there be some argument made that they had done some things that the Lord had kind of spoken through them? But when the Lord says here, if there's a prophet among you, I think it's interesting how he puts that. If there's a prophet among you, I'll speak to him in a vision, but it doesn't happen with Moses because I speak to him face to face. So this, now you guys are seeking this thing of, oh, we should be, God does speak through us. You know, the prophets, so to speak, God speaks through them. And he said, if there's a prophet among you, I'll speak to them, but I don't speak that way to Moses because I speak to him mouth to mouth. See, what they were wishing wasn't even really what God had with Moses, because they weren't speaking to God mouth to mouth like Moses was. Aaron was getting the information from Moses and speaking it. So their thought on, we'll say, call it authority or whatever they wanted here, was based upon something that wasn't true. They were against Moses in that they were probably jealous, but also what they were wanting wasn't even what Moses had, because Moses had a closer relationship with God than what they were wanting at times. Because even when you go back in Exodus, when Moses was talking to God and rewrote the Ten Commandments, and his face shone, and Aaron and the sons of Israel fled from him, like, Moses had that relationship with God that Aaron didn't even have, and Aaron is desiring the glory of it without doing any of the work. Now, again, Moses was yes, chosen by God to have that. But because of his character. Notice that in verse 3, it talks about Moses was very humble, more than any man on the face of the earth. Did you know that Moses actually wrote that? Moses wrote that about himself. And that also speaks to that you can recognize the good qualities about yourself too. And Moses wasn't doing it in a exalting or puffed up way. Moses was doing that because that's what's true. And that's the reason that Moses and God had a face-to-face relationship. I mean, granted, God does say he couldn't see the face of God or else he'd die. But when he's talking about talking to him mouth-to-mouth and be able to correspond like that, which is a foreshadow or a type of what Jesus had. Okay, so Jesus there and Moses here. Moses is an example of what the relationship or how Christ is interceding for us before God. And Moses interceded a lot of times for the sons of Israel, even here for Miriam specifically. He interceded for her that, because he had that relationship with God. But it was that way because, yeah, God chose that. But not because Moses didn't want that, but because Moses was the type of guy that he was. That's why God had that relationship with him. If you go down, skip a couple chapters ahead in verse chapter 16, you have the sons of Korah rebelling here, and Korah is a Levite, and Korah has some priestly, or not priestly duties, but some Levitical duties with the tabernacle and some certain things, but he didn't have the priesthood. And so again, you have your ranking there. Okay, so you have Moses and Aaron and Miriam. We're up here, and Moses is up there. But then you also have that lower too, where Korah had the honor of doing things with the vessels and things with the sanctuary and the tabernacle, but he didn't have the priesthood, and so he's wanting more. See, if back that up the other way, let's look at it from let me make this point here. Let me read this here first before I make that point. Turn to towards the end of the chapter there. You can read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, we won't. Verse 31, when he finished speaking, Moses here, all these words, the ground was under them, was split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their households and all the men who belonged to Korah and with their possessions, so they and all that belonged to them went down alive to Sheol, and the earth was closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly, and all Israel who were around them fled at their outcry, for they said, the earth may swallow us up. Fire also came forth to the Lord and consumed 250 men who were offering incense, and so on. And then you go down, and then the people complain, and so on. So there's a lot you can look in there, but you can see the let's look at it from the lowly effect here. So you have the people, there's the common people who desire to be higher in standard. Then you have the people who are higher in society to desire to be, they would probably desire to be, handle the vessels of ministry or the tabernacle. Then you have those people, in Korah's sake here, who want a priesthood. And then you have the priesthood, in Aaron's sake, where he was the high priest, but he wanted more, like Moses. But none of them did the work to do that. None of them, yeah, God chose specific people, but they didn't do the work to get that honor. And you can look at it in the example of David. There's two times that David could have killed Saul after David had been anointed to be king. Remember, David was anointed prior to him killing Goliath? And then after that, David twice says, and even his men with him are like, the Lord has delivered him into your hand. He said, I'm not going to raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. But he says the second time, he says, he will die in his time. God will take him there, and then that's when he was going to be king. So David didn't take hold of the kingdom outside of the Lord's timing and outside of doing work to get to there. Just like Jesus didn't take hold of when Satan's tempting him there, take hold of the kingdoms of the earth. Was Jesus due the right, and is he going to control all the kingdoms of the world? Yes, that is true. He's going to smash them with the rod of iron. Yes, that is true. But Satan was trying to get him to do that and take possession of that prior to him suffering. Aaron and Miriam and Korah and those people here, they were trying to exalt themselves prior to doing the work or even out of line. In their case, it was out of line for them to do that because they weren't picked to do that. They were doing something they weren't called to do. Turn ahead to the New Testament. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, the writer of Hebrews here, rebukes those who received the letter for their lack of growth. And in verse 11, he says, concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need again to teach you and the elementary principles and oracles of God, and you have need to, you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Okay, so on the one hand, you have the writer of Hebrews here, where we're talking about they should have the growth, they should have been excelling the more, and they weren't excelling, they weren't growing, they weren't putting in the work, they still had need for the milk, they weren't should have been teachers already, but and they should have had solid food, but they couldn't understand some of the things, because even the elementary things, because they were infants, spiritually speaking. But the solid food is for those who are trained and have their practice having their senses trained. They practice righteousness. They do the work. They put the work in so that they can discern good and evil, so that they can be teachers, so that they can help others. Turn over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Pages are sticking together. James chapter 3, verse 1. It says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Now, so if you look at the things we looked at, the examples of in the Old Testament, and there's other examples we can look at, we can look at examples that other poor examples of those who are exalting themselves and even using manipulation and stuff like that, that we could show that they're exalting themselves in positions that they shouldn't be in because they haven't done the work. They haven't done the work to get there. And using these in Hebrews and James here, when they're looking at you should be teachers by now, but then it says, let not many of you be teachers because there's stricter judgment. And see, both are true, but what is the difference is that there are certain people who shouldn't be. They want the position, but they don't want the responsibility. Or maybe they want the position and the honor, but not the responsibility. They don't want to do the work to get there. Now, Jesus could have taken the kingdom. David could have taken the kingdom from Saul. Aaron and the people of Israel, what is Moses himself, outside of God being with him, going to do to stand up against them? See, they could have done that prematurely, but David didn't, because you put the work in first. Moses could say that he was the most humble man on the face of the earth because he had proven that. Jesus has the authority to take his life up again, lay it down and take it up again, because he was willing to do that, and he has the authority and given authority by the Father because he did that first. Paul has authority because of what he's done. Peter has authority because of the work he put into it. In 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, the elders have authority because of the work they've done. And when you're looking at that, as far as like eldership or being a deacon, the point of eldership and people growing into that is because they do that because, an example, I guess how I kind of lay it out, I don't desire to have my kids become Christians so I can be an elder. I desire to have my kids become Christians so they go to heaven. And that's the difference between those who are seeking their position in authority. If your idea is, well, I want my kids to be Christians so that I can be the elder, that you're putting, you're just like Moses or Aaron and Miriam, like Korah, like people were trying to have David do, the devil is trying to tempt Jesus in doing that. All those guys had the right to, you know, not all the guys. David and Jesus, you could say, had the right to do that, but they didn't because of their heart. See, the work is done first for the purpose of, let's just say that, sacrificing for so that those who hear you be follow the Lord. So my kids follow the Lord, so those who hear me want to be obedient to God. The purpose of doing it is not for anything that I receive from it or that you receive from it, like that's when we're doing this, but it's the purpose of helping others. Jesus didn't do that for anything that, so that he could get, I mean, yes, he was going to receive all power, which he had before, but he humbled himself. He didn't go through that for the purpose of getting that. He went through that so that we could be saved, and because of that is why he was exalted. David didn't go through what he went through for the purpose of, well, I can bring glory to myself. He went through so that God would do it, and God, in God's time, God would be glorified. Because really, on a logical sense, if David goes and kills Saul in the cave, he's dead. And if he ends up getting out alive, either spot, and he kills Saul either way, there's lack of respect for him from the people because he went and took the kingdom. But if God takes Saul out of the way, then it's not David who takes Saul out of the way. It's God. Moses didn't do what he did because he enjoyed it. Because we know he didn't enjoy it. We know that there was time. We know that he didn't enjoy this, the suffering, and then the people rebelling against him multiple times. He didn't enjoy that. But he did that, and he even interceded for them even after they did do that to him or rebel against and accuse him of things. He interceded for them so that God didn't destroy them for the sake of the people. Now, back to John chapter 10. You think this is maybe a little bit, you say it maybe a little bit off topic, but if we look in the sense of the good shepherd versus the hireling, and Jesus being the good shepherd versus someone who just wants to seek the glory and the authority. He says it in the context that he lays down his life for the sheep, and that's why he has the authority to take it up again, because he did the work, that's why he has the authority. You know, it's not because of you know, we don't have authority because of certain institutions that say we have authority. But us as a body have a certain amount of authority in different levels or areas because of the work that is done. Because it's not something that was, okay, I did this and or I did something, or people are we in general, I guess, that people look to us because we haven't done anything. And what I'm trying to communicate here is that we do the work because we love the people, just like as Jesus, and following in his example, he did the work because he loved the sheep, so that they could be one, so that they could be saved. And you can see that's really foreign. It's foreign in our time, but it's foreign in their time too. Yeah, in verse 19 and 20, or through 20, 21, there a division arose amongst them. And you can say, well, this was about maybe everything he's talking about. Well, yeah, it is, but laying your life down and having authority because you've done the work, in some ways, even in the culture then, and even in the culture now, we see all kinds of examples of people getting a certain amount of authority or temporary authority and not doing a lot of the work. But the ones who last have put the work in. And Jesus here, it was foreign to them that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, that idea there, and there's other things within that as well, because they call him demon-possessed, and others say this is not the sayings of one who is demon-possessed because he can't open the eyes of the blind if he's demon-possessed. That doesn't happen. So, Jesus, different than the elders and the Pharisees, because the priesthood was passed down by blood. The priesthood was passed down by blood. The leaders of the household was passed down by blood. But Jesus, his authority, and he is saying that his authority comes because of the work that he did, which is different than the leaders of Israel. And it's different than the leaders we have today, both politically and so-called religious leaders. I'm not saying they're Christians, but religious leaders. They didn't do the work to start with, but they have a lot of authority and a lot of following, and they're just like the robber who goes in and steals and destroys for the sake of, as we've been talking about the last few weeks, for the sake of their gain. But Jesus and us should be following his example are not like that. Righteous men of old are not like that. David was not like that. Moses was not like that. Paul was not like that. Peter was not like that. They put the work in to help those in need spiritually. And because that happened, that's why they had authority. They didn't do it because of the glory. They did it because of the sake of those who were hearing the message. So when we talk about authority, and all of us can think of examples of this that we have dealt with people or whatever it is. Maybe at times we have thought it's ourselves. You know, thinking of some myself, there's been some times maybe that I need to check some things as far as like, well, is that because, do I need to watch it because I should be owed this? Or is it, do I do this because for the benefit of the saints? And I'm not saying that we all have these really rebellious examples that we can think of. My point is, we're trying to remind us is that Moses and Miriam, or David's men, or people at Korah, they were close to stuff. And as we even maybe go through in the class today, there's things that look kind of close, but because the work isn't done, or because there's maybe the idea that you want to call it power hungry or whatever, that can be deceitful, and destruction follows that. But Jesus being the example, even though he did have the right to have that authority, he didn't receive it and didn't take it until after he did the work. Let's make sure we do the same. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day and that we could gather here again today. Father, help us as we go about and we preach to the lost, Father. And help us as we do that, as we have good hearts in doing that. Father, strengthen and help us to encourage one another to keep pressing on, to have a good hearts in it, Father. And help us, Father, to again to be a shining light for you. And thank you for the example that Jesus was for us, Father, that even though he had the right to have the honor and the glory, he still went through the work, Father. We thank you so much for that willingness, even though he didn't have to. Help us, Father, to follow in his footsteps. In Jesus' name, amen.